Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Seventy-five yards of concrete we had put together. It's going to be a pretty impressive structure. It's going to be about 10 foot high. Walls are about 14 foot. And then this is the engineering concern. We got to put an F4 Phantom on a stick, right? It's going to be about 30 feet in the air. And that F4 Phantom is about 60 feet long and about 50 foot in wingspan. So you can imagine coming across that bridge. First, you'll be directed to the flag, which is going to be on a pole 80 foot high. We'll direct you to the aircraft, and then the statue of General James, which will be sitting on a 10-foot pedestal, and the statue itself will be 10 foot high.
So I did a thing this week that I'm both happy and sad about. Happy and sad about this. Happy is because of the whole discussion about which kinds of funds are appropriate to be used for TDT money or funded with TDT money, bed tax money. I made a decision. That was a conversation that was had at the Escambia County Commission. I made a decision for the first time ever to watch the TDC meeting. Oh, my God. I mean, it was a lot of stuff. I pulled 60 cuts, I think, from this meeting. So it's crazy. We'll get to as much of it today as I can. The sad part is, great, now I got another meeting I got to watch every month. You know, and like, way to assign yourself more work, Andrew. You're the best. So this is Chris Dosive. He's a former candidate for the State House and he's, of course, retired Marine. And he's one of the key people advocating for all the things regarding General Chappie James, particularly with the monument and the F-4 Phantom that's going to be up on the pedestal or stick, as he calls it, as an insider term. It's up on a stick. And the flag that's going to be when you come across Three Mile Bridge going into Pensacola. He was at the TDC asking them for money. $750,000. Is that what you need to finish this about $2 million project?
How much are you short to finish up what you got to finish?
The 750.
You need 750.
That is correct.
Let me ask you this. So 750, are you thinking that the TDT should fund that entire amount, or you don't?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. For why? Because according to the numbers from FDOT, you're going to have over 60,000 people crossing that bridge every single day.
And here we get a hint of trouble to come. The trouble to come is going to be the question of great project. Nobody disputes that. Price tag, the price is what it is. Roughly $2 million. If you put everything in there for the plane, the transportation, the refurbishment, mounting it up on the stick, the entire amphitheater around that, the flagpole, the statue, just all of it, and a contingency, you know, $2 million. And all kinds of things, like Impact is going to be asked to fund the lighting, which is just about their size thing, $120,000. The city's already put in $250,000. The state put in $700,000. Individuals put in $50,000. Boeing is put in $50,000 regarding the plane. There's another company that sponsored the flag. So all that's missing is about, quick math, about 37% to get $750,000 to put them into $2 million, so they can really get going, start contracts, and get this thing out to, you know, out to going, basically, to start and try to get it in by first quarter. Okay, so that's where they stand, but he's coming to the TDC asking them for $750,000. And the only things that TDC can spend money on have to be related primarily to tourism. Okay, that's one of the roles of that board, is to oversee the tourism and make recommendations to the Escambia County Commission that this is or this is not a tourism-related spend. And so he says, yeah, that's where we're at. This is what we need in order to get it all done. And you'll notice his answer, which is, you know, you expect the TDC to pay for this. He says, yeah, think about all the eyeballs coming across the bridge. But are those eyeballs visitors? Or are those eyeballs locals? And do you get more visitors because you put this up? That's going to be the question. And that's a question which comes up again when he's talking about the visitor center there, right?
You know, I think this will most certainly complement and drive business to that building. Because people are going to come across there and go, hey, what's that? Let's go see it. And they're going to go in and they're like, what is this? Oh, there's Visit Pensacola. And the whole thing really is one big promotion effort, right? It's not just a matter of promoting Pensacola. It's promoting Pensacola through the legacy of General James. And that's how we see it as a connection.
So he says it's going to drive business to the tourism center. Okay, I mean, you know, I can sort of see that too. And what you can hear in Chris Dosa's voice is he is 100% sold on this project. And he will... and I don't say this as a criticism, he will say anything he can to get it across the line. And you can, you kind of get that feeling that he is sort of scrapping to find a way to say this is tourism money, which is why David Baer, the chairman of the committee, says,
first of all, I think this is a great project. I think it's going to be beautiful and a great way to honor a great man. So thank you for all the effort that you and your team have done to bring this to fruition. Yes, yes. Thank you, everyone in the audience that's helped. My question was whether or not it's actually an expenditure, an authorized expenditure of tourist development tax. And in order for it to be, it has to have a primary purpose of developing tourism.
So he's put the big question mark on the justification of it being primarily a tourism expense. Kristen Houle, the assistant county attorney.
So looking at the plain language of the statute under subsection 5, In my opinion, I do not see any particular subsection in which this particular project would fall as an authorized use.
Oh, no. That's a very polite no. I've looked at this, and no, it's not a primarily tourism thing. And so Jeff Bergosh and David Baer, they're kind of talking about, well, what about like a cultural tourism dimension?
Kristen, yeah. we couldn't call this cultural tourism.
Right.
You hear that's Chris in the background. Yes, it is.
Provision?
So, Kristen, would we be able to ask, would the county be willing to ask the Attorney General for an opinion?
I think it would be wise to request an opinion from the Attorney General's office.
That's what I suggested when
you had asked the question before.
And that is really, if, you know, the answer is no right now, but we can ask the AG for an opinion, and maybe the AG says, no, it's fine, go ahead, in which case it'd be fine to spend it that way, right? And David Baer says, I think that's what we ought to do.
So do you guys want me to bring that to the next meeting?
I would, because I'd like to figure out if there's a way for us to support this project.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, that'd be the Board of County Commissioners have to ask that. TDC can't ask that directly, so basically the board's going to ask on behalf of the TDC. The board always makes final votes anyway. The TDC is not elected. They don't have authority to make votes. They just make recommendations. But then the question of, like, well, what about within the language of the statute? Is it like a cultural center of some kind?
The acquisition, construction, is this what you're reading? Extension, enlargement, remodeling, repair, improvement, maintenance, operation, or promotion of one or more publicly owned and operated civic arenas, sports, cultural convention complexes within the boundaries of the county.
And the answer is, it doesn't really satisfy that exactly. At least not my read, not by Kristen Houle's read. And so that's why they're asking this question. Meanwhile, Tanya Day Broughton, who is a city councilwoman, and she has been very involved in this, and I forget all the different roles that she plays in connection with, like, the Chappie James Flight Academy and the museum downtown and all of this stuff. And she was trying to say, well, we've got all these other buildings, and we're like, yeah, but it's not in that same geography, and you can't just put it together because it has the same name on it. But things got dramatic.
I'd like to say that when this process first began, and the organization was told what they needed to do each step of the way, they were told that this was the appropriate step. And something that I've noticed in this process, just my observation, it seems that there's been a lot of cat and mouse. And
uh-oh.
I strongly believe that, well, I mean, I may not say strongly believe, it seems disingenuous.
Oh, cat and mouse, disingenuous, and she never says this, but you have to kind of imagine that there's a backdrop of, well, Chappie James was black, y'all are white. You know, that's kind of always in the background of all of this when you sort of make allegations like this.
Because they've done everything they needed to do. People didn't think they would get all those signatures. I was one of the people knocking on doors getting signatures. They got the city and the county on both sides of the bridge to agree on something, which you all know is very rare and hard to do.
That's true.
Brought everyone together, and here it is, when they do everything that they were told, they come before this board, who they were told this was the appropriate board to come to, correct?
Yes.
And now it's just another hiccup, just another, I'll just say, deflection, when this was the promise. So I'd be interested in learning why you were told you needed to come here And now why you're being told that this is not where you're supposed to come?
Okay. And by the way, this is very similar to, remember, the mayor this week, D.C. Reeves, criticizing the staff, not directly, but it certainly seems to be the target of the Escambia Children's Trust for them not having clear answers and coming back to him with, like, the, well, we don't know if we can buy this property and all of that. That's so. This is not the only time people in government make this kind of a criticism. It just, you know, it was a little bit surprising to hear because she's Teddy Day Julie just basically gets along and is fairly sweet. And this is one of those, you know, she's frustrated. And I can understand if they were told this is the process, why she would be. And here's where things got really weird because Chris Dosev, look, you know, Chris is a charger. He's an A-type personality. And, you know, sometimes that gets him in trouble.
I think. In my opinion, I think that we have a very strong argument here. I think that I can't imagine anybody claiming that this would not fall under tourist development. Ooh. And falling under the cultural provision of that document.
I mean, he's not a lawyer, even though he slept at Holiday Inn Express last night. So he's telling the lawyer she's wrong. He's telling David Baer that he's wrong. He's saying that there are no legitimate questions here. Step one, error.
And particularly today, when we're looking to try to unify this country, I think this would be putting a big flag in the front of Pensacola. It wouldn't hurt anybody, especially one flag, our American flag. So thank you. If there's any other questions.
So cat and mouse, disingenuous, roadblocks, obstacles, patriotism, how dare you think it's not tourism, and David Baer's had enough.
I don't have any other questions, but I don't think anybody on this council has said that we do not want to fund this. What we said is what we're trying to do is verify that these funds actually may be used to fund this project. We were told originally this group was going to raise all of the funding through private foundation, private fundraising efforts.
Like, you know, here you are begging for money when the original plan was private funding, bro. Right? I mean, that's a shot across the bow.
They were not going to use any public dollars for this project. But here we are with a $750,000 request. The city has funded $250,000. The state has funded $700,000. So I take personal offense about this cat and mouse conversation. I think there's been a lot of conversation, and this whole thing has been very fluid.
You know how when you think you've got a good chance to get some money and they give you a way to maybe get that money and then you come back with, how dare you? And they're like, well, you know, to be frank with you, you didn't really need to get all this money to begin with.
I think it's a great opportunity for our community to recognize General James and his effort and the work that you guys have done in bringing the plane down here, getting it rehabbed and painted and everything set up is just a Superman effort. I mean, it has been unbelievable.
And is.
We just need to make sure that we are authorized to spend this money this way. And just because we think it may meet the statute doesn't mean it does meet the statute. And if it does, the Attorney General will let us know. And then we will be here talking about what dollars we can spend on this project.
So in spite of having the various kinds of allegations against him from Teddy Day Broughton and Chris Dosev, David Baer's like, no, look, bro, we actually support this. We just want to make sure we're legally allowed to spend the money this way. So Chris asks, is the $750 reasonable? I'm ready to write contracts. And basically the board said, we're going to ask the commission to ask for an opinion from the Attorney General that this is approved. And based on that is our answer to you. If she says yes, we'll say yes. If she says no, you're going to have to find the money somewhere else. So there you go. That's the status of the, I don't have any music for the TDC. And by the way, this is not the only point of interest during the day, but there you go. Now I'm forced to watch another governmental meeting every month. 437-1620. Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars. You know, the cars that are a year, two, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good service. They take care of it before, during, and after the sale. I mean, all that's true. But you hear me talking about him, and that's one guy on the radio, right? You know, one guy who bought one Odyssey, all right? You hear Dave Ramsey talking about him on the radio, that's one guy talking about him. But then again, don't you have friends who talk about him? I know I do. Like, all kinds of people here have bought cars from them, and especially if you're driving around, you'll see the bumper stickers and the license plate frames, and they're everywhere. Like, if you start paying attention, day one, you might see none or one. Day two, you're going to notice two or three, and by about the third or fourth day, you're going to feel like, did everybody buy their cars there? And no, the answer is they did not, but thousands upon thousands did, and those are also endorsements. So check out Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community behind that for more than 25 years, behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, and tell them the bumper sticker sent you.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Wake up, people. You are optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number.
It's the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing ends Monday. See store for details.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
You remind me that money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
I have discovered, I'm 50. I gotta do the math. that's where you said 71, 10, 53. Okay. John Pickens sitting for Candy this morning. Music from The Karate Kid is weirdly amazing.
I know, right?
I mean,
Who would have thought that?
You know,
when we were watching the movie back in the day.
Cruel Summer, the song they're doing during the fight that's fantastic.
Right.
And this one by Commuter, Young Hearts. And it's kind of like, I mean, the movie's great, but I didn't even realize at the time. You know, everybody knows the Top Gun soundtrack.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Lost Boys soundtrack. And then you're like, oh, man, The Karate Kid soundtrack's fantastic. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, if do right, no can defense.
Right.
That's yes, sensei, by the way.
Yes, sensei.
You know, it's been so long since I've seen The Karate Kid, it didn't even register. President Biden asking Congress for another $24 billion for Ukraine. Some congressional Republicans have been hesitant about putting any more money towards the Ukraine war. A recent CNN poll found that 55% of Americans believed Congress should not provide additional funding. Those wildfires in Hawaii continuing to take a toll on the island of Maui. Governor Josh Green there says the fires are likely to be the biggest disaster in the history of the state. Apparently progress is being made. None of those fires, though, are 100% contained yet. And apparently the biggest search for Scotland's Loch Ness Monster is set to begin this month. Drones fitted with infrared cameras are going to be flying over the Scottish Highlands, and a hydrophone will be used to detect any unusual underwater sounds. They're saying it's the biggest search for the Loch Ness Monster since the 70s. First, we had the alien hearings. Now, mm-hmm. The search for the Loch Ness Monster. This is the best year ever.
I'm a little apprehensive about this because I don't want them to claim to have disproved something that I want to believe is true, you know?
Right.
But also, I will say the other day I saw this on Facebook. Somebody had shared a picture of a soup ladle that when sitting out on the counter has four legs, and it's in the shape of like a Loch Ness Nessie. You know, it's green with the scoop and then the big head that comes up and then turns over. And when you have it in the pot of soup, it just looks like Nessie's neck coming up out of the pot. Uh-huh. Like, oh, I want this. This is fantastic. It's great.
I need this ladle.
Yes, absolutely. And oh my God, Maui. Oh my God! What do we have? 55 people.
Yes. So
it didn't sink in exactly how sudden this must have been until I saw the picture on AP of the street with the cars.
Yes.
Burned with people burned dead inside the cars on the street. It came up so fast on them, and they were stuck in traffic. Oh my God, it's awful. And they got several hundred people are still missing. Thousands of homes destroyed. Very, very bad. David, thanks so much for the update. Fox News is next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. At least 55 confirmed dead, tens of thousands homeless, 1,000 more considered missing from the Winfield wildfires burning the west side of Maui to the ground.
The historic town of Lahaina into a scorched shell. As of today, firefighters have contained 80% of the fire burning there, but others continue to burn across Maui and the Big Island.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff reporting. Former President Donald Trump's attorney squaring off today against special counsel Jack Smith's team in a Washington, D.C. courtroom over what he can say about the criminal case related to January 6th and efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Republican presidential hopefuls flock to the Iowa State Fair today. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, former VP Mike Pence, Miami Mayor Francis Suarez take part in a so-called fair side chat this morning with the Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. News Radio 92.3, it's 84. Partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. A Pensacola man's been arrested in connection to a fentanyl intoxication death that happened earlier this year. PPD says 38-year-old Quante Sanders now faces multiple charges, including homicide and trafficking in both fentanyl and meth.
Not only is it highly illegal, but it could result in the death of someone that you sold narcotics to, which means you will turn around and get arrested for homicide, and that's exactly what happened in this case.
PPD's Mike Wood, and he says the homicide charge comes whether it was intentional or not. During the months-long investigation, Sanders allegedly delivered fentanyl, meth, and mushrooms to undercover agents with the Vice and Narcotics Units in June. He was arrested again Wednesday by PPD and the U.S. Marshals Task Force on that homicide charge. Forecasters at NOAA now joining their colleagues over at the Colorado State University and calling for an above-normal Atlantic hurricane season. Meteorologist Matthew Rosenkranz says their updated outlook now calling for between 14 and 21 named storms, 6 to 11 hurricanes, 2 to 5 major hurricanes that are Cat 3 or higher.
The main climate factors expected to influence the 2023 Atlantic hurricane activity are the ongoing El Nino and the record warm Atlantic sea surface temperatures.
And Rosenkranz says the El Nino effect is delayed and the record warm water in the Atlantic basin will be allowed to fuel those storms. Well, despite a heated debate over the last several weeks, Santa Rosa County leaders are ultimately now planning to move forward with changing how construction bids will be reviewed and awarded at future meetings. And perhaps, surprisingly, it was Commissioner James Calkins that made the motion for that change.
I do understand why the board now is taking this issue right now and trying to make it right, and I commend that effort. And I think we need to move forward, and I'm okay with moving forward while I disagree with what happened in the past.
Last month, the board voted to award a multi-million dollar construction contract to Caldwell Associates, mainly because three of the board members ranked them at number one. However, based on the overall scoring, the winning firm should have been Tallahassee-based Clemens, Rutherford, and Associates. Santa Rosa County says that new traffic light at Wallace Lake Road and Chemukla Highway is going to be delayed for a few days. This is being caused by a utility issue. As a result, the sheriff's office will be doing traffic control for arrival and dismissal at that new Wallace Lake K-8 school until the installation of the light is complete. Motorists are being advised to use caution and expect delays in the area, especially as school arrivals are going on and departures. PPD says the investigation is still ongoing into that recent case of anti-Semitic vandalisms across the area. Four teenagers were arrested and charged last week. All were charged with a hate crime based on the content of the graffiti because of it was a house of worship that was vandalized. But PPD says They pulled out all the stops in that investigation, and they anticipate there could be more arrests as that investigation wraps up. Governor and Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis hinted that he might be willing to use drone strikes against Mexican drug cartels. This was during a campaign stop in Iowa yesterday. Governor DeSantis said as president, he would use whatever force was needed to take down the cartels with or without help from Mexico's government. And he was asked if drone strikes on Mexican soil were on the table. DeSantis said the cartels are like a foreign terrorist organization. 535 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. A very hot and humid day today. Another heat advisory in effect starting at 11 a.m. lasting until 7 p.m. Temperatures topping out near 97 degrees, feeling more like 100 to 115. 30% chance of rain today. Rain chance increasing as we go into Saturday to 40%. High on Saturday near 99 degrees. Another heat advisory likely with temperatures Saturday night staying in the 80s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 84 in Pensacola, 84 also in Gulf Breeze, and it's 83 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you could start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, Monday morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning. Good to have you. On the one hand, it's exciting, $40 million, at least as a second offer. I mean, the initial offer from Horton had been higher, too. So, but for the cut-down piece of land, it does concern me that the Eisenhower Group has jumped in here and made an offer, apparently. But they haven't been watching the meetings, or they'd know that the commissioners want to hang on to a couple hundred acres to make sure that it gets developed commercial instead of, you know, get sold as commercial and gets flipped to housing because of this new state law, right?
Yeah. So I had a very brief conversation with a gentleman from Eisenhower earlier in the week. And, you know, I said, hey, it might be beneficial for you to watch the meeting and listen to the conversation of the board. And he said, yeah, I agree, but this is the offer that was sent yesterday afternoon, and we'll go through it. It's $40 million, and they have some concerns. As, you know, I think what you're going to see with all these offers is something very similar to what D.R. Horton's concerns are with the master plan and being able to do some different things. But, you know, we'll go through it. The board will go through it, and we'll have a conversation, and we'll see how we – how we move from there. I will tell you that we have a conference call in the morning, tomorrow morning, with D.R. Horton and some and their attorneys, myself, Allison, and them, and we'll go through it, and we'll see what they have to say. It's one of these things we'll just have to see how we move going forward.
And I assume that that conversation is going to be about the revisions to the contract that they talked quite a bit about during the meeting. You know, let's get the language right, and then we can start talking about maps and all of that. Is that kind of where we're at still?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about related to planning and, you know, zoning and stuff is we've been talking about this morning a bit, and I want to play the clip for you because just to remind people who might not have been listening just a few minutes ago, but I heard Commissioner Barry say something that was it really concerned me. I get what he's talking about, that he wants to try to rein in development a little bit and make it be smarter than it has been in the past. But here's what he said.
I mean, there are other issues. I mean, there was something that was proposed in my area that may have met the letter of the law for the zoning and the future land use, but that doesn't mean it fits the other items that go into development review. And, you know, we don't want there to be a blanket thought that, well, if I meet zoning and I meet future land use, then I can automatically do my project however I want to do it.
Exactly.
So I think you're right.
So it sounds to me like he's proposing adding a new layer of approval where the commissioners can say yes or no based on, I don't know, I guess their personal opinions of how things go. I've always understood it that this was the handcuff that was always on the commissioners is if it meets zoning and future land use, they're not allowed to say no for legal reasons. What am I missing here?
Well, I think what you've seen in the past year especially was the folks at Finley and Jernigan and JoJo.
Yeah.
They come to the meetings, they're concerned about they were concerned about a proposed apartment complex or townhomes coming in behind them that were really going to be not compatible with the area. And I think you're seeing that same concern filter through. We've had the same thing out on Perdido Key with that development out there.
Right.
And these developments kind of fly quietly, if you will. And they get, we meet all the things, we get approved. And then they drop this huge development in the middle of an established subdivision that's been established for a while, and that the roads and infrastructure probably really are not going to be able to support the added traffic and the drainage and such. And so I think we've heard a lot in the county from the citizens. The latest was up at Barano Park. There was a huge development proposed there, and you may meet the LDC and the flu and what have you, but especially in Barano Park, I know the water system up there, I don't know if they can support that kind of a development.
Right.
I mean, they struggle up there.
Even without the upzoning they wanted, right, yeah.
Absolutely. So I think the board has listened to the citizens, and they continue to hear from the citizens. And I think the board is trying to move in a direction to be able to protect a little, if you will, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but to take into account some of those things that may not come to account during the planning board sessions with DRCs. And I think that's what that's about. I don't think it's about trying to hold any development hostage, if you will, but I think it's trying to do it in a smarter, better way and listen to the citizens, look at the infrastructure that's there. Can the infrastructure really support this kind of development? Just because on paper they may meet some criteria, and I think that's what it's about.
And again, I said this before, but I'll say it again. I agree with the idea of finding a way to be more thoughtful about this. We clearly have suffered from a failure to be as thoughtful as we should be, but it seems like the answer isn't let's just have the commissioners decide. It seems like the answer is a much more robust and well thought out, LDC, and all of that. Like that would be the answer, is so that property owners and investors can know in advance rather than having to wait and find out, gosh, I put all this money in and hoping this is going to turn out. But I totally agree with you. All of these problems we're seeing are because they go ahead with these plans and suddenly people find out about them and freak out. So I'm looking for a good conversation. I know Joy Blackman had said we should do this at a cow. We haven't had a cow in a year. Are we going to have a cow for this, you think?
Yeah, I think for some of the planning stuff. And, I talked about parking and
yep.
and for the apartments. in the code as it relates to that. So yeah, I think that is a topic for which would be suitable for a cow. Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree. Wes, as you well know, there's a big issue right now and even an FBI investigation over how the texts that were apparently on Jeff Bergosh's personal cell phone got into the hands of Jonathan Owens and got into discovery in a Ramey Edler lawsuit and a variety of other matters. What I'm curious about is, I get, I think some people would say, well, they shouldn't be using their personal cell phones. I'm a realist. I know that everybody uses their personal cell phone to do business. But it just, my question is not, how to prohibit that. My question is, it seems like there's got to be an archiving system for the texts and the call records that you have on your business cell. And it seems like that ought to be applicable to the personal cell, too, or there ought to be at least an easy way to do that so that when there are public records, they can easily get into the resources that somebody like Allison Rogers or the PIO would have access to. Is there a system right now that allows, when the commissioners are doing personal business on the personal phones, is there a archiving system related to that at all?
Not on the personal phone that I'm aware of. There are some apps that will let you, pull those texts and separate them out and be able to preserve them separately off the personal phone. I have two phones. I carry two phones everywhere I go.
Right, right.
It's a pain in the neck to carry two phones everywhere you go, but I'm very careful not. If I'm going to send a work text, it's going off my work phone because that way I know it's captured. Email, same way, phone calls. I'm going to make work phone calls off my work phone. So that's how I do it. As far as a personal phone, you can screenshot it, and preserve it that way. It's very laborious, very labor intensive to go through that. And a number of us, you'll see us with two phones, and that's why we carry two phones. Even though it's, trust me, it's a pain in the behind to carry two phones everywhere you go. But it is what it is, and that's how I do it.
Well, it just, we have a lot of people in this county that are very concerned about transparency, and more than that, right? They firmly believe that there's, sunshine violations going on, or they believe that there's just, the records are not available the way they should be. It seems like the best way to alleviate those concerns would be some kind of automatic conversion system. And if it takes, the county attorney disqualifying text that are personal or something like that, but it seems like the personal phones ought to be hooked up to that system.
Yeah, well, I disagree with that. I'm not going to hook my personal phone up to anything, nor would you, honestly.
Well, no, but then how do you solve the problem of the business text on the personal phone?
It is, Andrew, it is what it is. I carry two phones. I would say this about Commissioner Bergosh. He was trying to do the right thing. He really was. He was trying to preserve those records. He could have just deleted them, not worried about them. But that's not what he was trying to do. He was trying to preserve those records. And I know there's folks out there, no matter what you say, they're gonna pick up the rock and throw it. It is what it is. But he was trying to preserve those records. Unfortunately and sadly, somebody betrayed that trust and confidence, and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. That's where we're at.
How did the FBI get involved in this? That's why the FBI is involved, right? Is to figure out how they got taken.
We requested the FBI get involved. We actually went to the state attorney, and he referred us to FDLE, and then the FBI stepped in and said, we have a little bit better resource to be able to investigate this type of thing, so we'll take it. And so they're involved at our request.
Okay, so the county requested that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay. All right. I know what you were saying, but it would be illegal to delete a business record from the personal phone. You said he could have deleted them instead of bringing them in, but you just meant that, he has to keep them because they're a public record, right?
And absolutely. He has to keep them because they're public record. He recognized they were public record, and that's what he was trying to do, doing his best to preserve them.
I know somebody would have misheard you say that. I know that's not what you meant, so I wanted to make sure to clear that up. Hey, last thing, just a good news note. I always like to have some kind of a good news note. The Parks Department won an award, right?
Yeah, Small Market Department of the Year for the state of Florida. That's a big deal. They're going to go down to Orlando here at the end of the month and be recognized. It is a very big deal, sports tourism. I can't say enough about Michael Rhodes and Adam over there, Adam Reed there at Parks and TJ. They're just doing a phenomenal job. I mean, we're here in a few weeks to open up this new facility at Brosenham. The SEC's already been in town. They've already looked at it. They love it. They've made some modifications to how they're going to advertise and do their media releases. They're just flying high over there. They really are. And a lot of sports tourism involved. A lot of tourism dollars coming into the community because of their efforts over there.
And a huge win with the SEC tournament. Now, yeah, just a really good news note. Oh, I did say that was the last one, but there is one other one. First day of school today. I assume that, you know, you're a roads and safety guy, so I know this is a big deal for you, making sure to let people know, but anything aside from school bus safety that, you know, you want to let people know about and what it means for the county first day of school, if anything?
Well, the biggest thing is we did get long leaf open.
Yep.
I just drove through there, so it's not theoretically open. It is open.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well done.
Theoretically open, apparently. but that was a hard drive and hard push. A good job done over there with engineering and panhandle grading the pavement and McInnis driving hard over there on Longleaf. But yeah, just a standard. Hey, slow down a little bit. You know, leave a little bit earlier. Account for the school bus traffic. Account for the bus stops, and just be very aware of the kids that are out there waiting to catch the bus, and at the bus traffic. Just as always, slow down and be aware.
Absolutely. And by the way, I don't think I said it yesterday enough, but, you know, kudos on getting that project done before school started for those schools. That is a big accomplishment. And I know there were flurries of activity on Monday and Tuesday trying to get that bridge open before school started today. Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. As always, Wes, thank you for the time and thanks for the work you do, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you now.
Most definitely. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth, she's fabulous. She's a great person to just kind of bounce the idea off of, get some advice and see what she thinks. I mean, when somebody sells 230 homes, why wouldn't you ask for her input? You know, like, where's a good place to buy? Is now a good time to buy? Based on our income and our rent that we're paying right now, should we buy for the first time? You know, is this a good price to sell? How much do you think we can get? How long do you think it'll take? Right? I mean, she can answer better than I can. I can't tell you, but she will be able to. And I always think, particularly if you're renting and have never bought a home before, if you're that first-time home buyer, maybe, definitely call her and ask her opinion about it, because she'll help you figure out if it's a good decision. And then if you go ahead, oh, man, I can't imagine anybody better to help shepherd you through that process. I wish I could go back in time, and the first time we bought a house, to be able to have used Christina Leavenworth to do it. I mean, it isn't St. Louis. It wasn't here. I know that wouldn't happen. But, like, man, if we were buying for the first time, man, I wish we'd been able to use her. So give her a call, 723-9158. She's fantastic and super helpful. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
This morning at 10:30, join Santa Rosa Animal Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every life is precious, and that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back, adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. That's this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Can somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in where a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press?
¶¶
know, John, you like sitting in on the show because you get to relive the 80s with me, right?
Oh, I do. I love it. I love it, man.
That was actually our question yesterday was, our frivolous topic question was, what item from the 1970s is the most iconic? Do you remember, like, the Tupperware salt shakers and all that kind of stuff?
Oh,
my
yes.
God, that was so much fun.
Oh, my
5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday. It's going to be hot again. Hot again and again and again and again. It's Florida, right? Florida in August. That's the way this works. Don't mean to surprise y'all, but it's so hot every year, you know, right at this time. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump's Truth Social platform apparently tipped off the FBI about the Utah man that was shot by FBI agents this week. Agents shot and killed Craig Robertson Wednesday while issuing an arrest warrant for threatening to kill President Biden during a Utah visit. NBC News reporting that Truth Social notified the FBI about Robertson last
Great.
March. Russia.
Can you imagine being in law enforcement? Or, I mean, my goodness, being a kid these days, and, like, you know how some people have, like, 10 social media programs
right,
all on
right.
their phone, or apps on their phone? Can you imagine trying to monitor, and not just the major ones, right? Because there's the squirrelier they are, the more likely to produce a criminal element, right? You
right.
figure?
Oh, yeah.
The people who can't get Facebook accounts anymore or, you know, can't be on Instagram, right? Those are the folks you want to be monitoring, right? I can't imagine trying to just, you know, keeping up with just Facebook and sometimes Instagram is a lot. And for these folks to be have to monitor all the different ones and all this. Anyway, that's what made me think of it.
Russia has launched Luna 25. That would be their first lunar lander in 50 years now. It's an uncrewed craft that lifted off this week. Russia's last unmanned moon landing was in 1976. And Italy says it's now repatriated over 260 ancient artifacts that had been smuggled into the U.S. during the late 90s. Italian authorities say they were worth tens of millions of euros, the oldest of those artifacts dating back to 9th century B.C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From Italian, from 9th century B.C. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Apparently, a lot of these were at a museum in Houston, and the museum decided to return them after they discovered they had been illegally taken out of Italy.
That's the way that's supposed mm-hmm. to work. Yeah, yeah. With, you know, cultural artifacts, art, and the like, there's really no statute of limitations. It's not, you know, it's not like we got it now. It's tough. That's not the way that works. Thanks so much, David, for the update. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texted me a thought about this whole school books
right.
in the classroom and how the libraries are closed. And remember, the school system is saying that the libraries are, you know, that the individual classrooms are not closed, that that's up to teacher discretion, that, you know, they ideally would be able to go through all the books and certify them. That's what some of the teachers are afraid to do it because they feel like they're going to run afoul of the law. Somebody made a comment to me that I thought was a very interesting one. I had not been thinking about it. But you know how this photo got leaked and Channel 3, you know, had run with the photo of the classroom where the sign is up and the don't use these books, it's a dangerous thing, or you
right.
know, whatever. If, because of this law, contact your school board member. And, you know, Channel 3 did a good interview last night with Paul Fetzko and with the Library Services Director for Escambia County. Somebody said to me, you know, this has the feel of malicious implementation.
Mm-hmm.
It has the feel of people who are trying to make a political point by going out of their way to be overly showy about complying with the law. That what they're really trying to do is embarrass the law, the lawmakers, the governor, and whatever. And I certainly don't know the person responsible or the people responsible for advocating this perception of that law. But I had thought, I had not been thinking about that. There's something, if it turned out that this was really a form of political protest, not a form of compliance.
Right.
You know, compliance as protest.
Right.
Like, oh, you're going to make me do this. Well, watch me do it exactly like you said I was going to, you know, that kind of
right.
thing. That wouldn't really surprise me. I could see that kind of fitting the facts in this case.
Mm-hmm.
4-3-7-16-20. Do I want to get into this? The U.S. women's national team, uh-huh. who was eliminated in the first round, worst performance that they've had in, I think, ever, but certainly in quite a long time. They generated $3.25 million revenue from their performance, but they're going to get to take home $7 million. Because of the revenue share with the men, who this year earned, I think it was four, 13 or 16 million.
Right.
And when you split it up, basically you add them together and then split it up together, they're making a ton of money. So they're making a lot of money because they partner with the men. And in the past go around, it would have been the other way around. The men would have made more money if the current agreement had been in place.
Your home for Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 is News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
NOAA has revised their hurricane forecast outlook. And we'll have more on that story after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.